Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
It's the Brian Lehrer Show on WNYC. Good morning, everyone. We will begin today with the latest edition of our series, Primarily New York, in advance of the New York primary on Thursday, yes, Thursday, September 13th. We'll actually have one later on the show, in the show, too, on the thing Governor Cuomo said yesterday about America having not been so great. But we'll start with one of the main ways that Cynthia Nixon is trying to run against the incumbent governor in the Democratic primary, hashtag Cuomo's MTA. Over the summer, Nixon has made frequent stops at subway stations, sometimes more frequently than the trains make them themselves, to highlight problems on the trains and criticize the governor. Her camp has even printed T-shirts and campaign posters using subway letters in slogans like, I can't take four more years of this, and R, letter R, like the R train, are you kidding me? It's been a theme starting with her very first campaign event back in March when she was nearly late because of subway problems.
I got here just in the nick of time. I allowed an hour and a half for what should have been a 30-minute ride. Cuomo's MTA. Three trains pulled out of service. We had to get off. Three trains.
Cuomo's response in general has been to focus on how he's trying to get money to pay for much needed improvements to the subways. The MTA's new leader, Andy Byford, released a plan to fix the subways in May that will cost at least $19 billion. But who will pay for it? Cuomo has said it must be done through legislation in Albany for a congestion pricing plan for the business district of Manhattan that would charge a fee to drivers coming in.
Nobody has a better, smarter solution than congestion pricing, and I believe we get it done.
Cuomo has also repeatedly said the city also has to cough up more money than it currently is to help pay for the subway fix. Nixon, on the other hand, has released her own plan to pay for subway fixes, which also calls for raising funds through a congestion pricing plan, but adds a polluter fee, as she calls it, for certain companies, and a millionaire's tax, something Mayor de Blasio has touted for years and the governor has not. So who's got the better plan? Here to talk about it and take your calls is Dan Rivoli, transit reporter for the Daily News. Hi, Dan. Welcome back to WNYC.
I'm glad to be here. Thanks.
And listeners, our phones are open for anything you want to say about, hashtag, if you want to put the hashtag first, like Cynthia Nixon does, Cuomo's MTA, 212-433-WNYC. If the subways are a reason that you're deciding to vote either for Cuomo or Nixon in the primary, you can call with that. If you have a question, because that's the point of our Primarily New York series, is to clarify the different candidates' positions on different things today, the subways, 212-433-WNYC, and maybe Dan can answer your question, 212-433-9692. So if this is even an answerable question, Dan, how bad is it? What's being done to help improve things, and have things gotten even a little better?
Yeah, it's bad. We're all riders. Our trains stop in the middle of the tunnel. You don't know why. And, you know, MTA officials are scrambling to make things better. And they keep touting their advances in communications, you know, making sure riders are getting good information. You see more work being done in the subway tunnels. But yet, we still feel the pain. We still feel the slow trains. We still see signal malfunctions and mayhem underground.
And so to save the subways, the MTA's new leader, Andy Byford, has his fast forward plan. That's the name of it. What is this aim to do and how fast?
It's a 10-year plan. It's going to cost billions of dollars. The behind the closed doors estimate was something to the order of $36 billion over 10 years. And the centerpiece of this plan is overhauling the signal system, the ancient signal system. It's decades old and is in serious need of a modern signal technology. The problem is they've been trying this. They did it on the L train. They're doing it on the 7 train. The 7 train project, that's delayed. And this technology is called communications-based train control. You'll get about 2 more 7 trains running an hour. And it's an extensive process where a lot of riders have been put out because of it's a labor-intensive process. But Andy Byford says this is the key to getting it forward. And the problem is, how are you going to pay for it? And it's an age-old problem for the MTA. How do you pay for these critical capital upgrades?
And let's take a phone call right off the bat, practically. Andrea in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Hi, Andrea.
Yes, I was just telling your screener, thank you for taking my call, that I don't even know what Cynthia Nixon means by a polluter's tax, but just the name of the thing, the polluter's tax, makes me vote for her absolutely immediately, because it seems that our politicians in general are completely tone deaf to the level of pollution that we live with in this city every day. And I recently called 311 to report, to ask to send a letter to the mayor, which I did, which essentially said, thank you, Mayor, so much for our electric buses and our electric police vehicles, which proves that electric is possible. Therefore, can we have a law in this city that all vehicles coming into this city would be mandatory electric?
Andrea, thank you very much. A lot on the table there. First, on the polluter's tax, which is obviously attractive to at least that voter just by hearing that term. What is it? What is Cynthia Nixon proposing that she calls a polluter's tax?
A tax on carbon emissions, and that is supposed to raise money, and some of that money would go towards transit improvements. Also, you want more people riding mass transit, cut down on the pollution. And she couples that with the millionaire's tax, also a portion of which she'd put towards the MTA and mass transit, and congestion pricing, another way to generate revenue that she says she would actually be successful in pushing through the legislature.
And is she pushing Cuomo to the left on this in any way, or what we might call the left, in ways that she's become famous for, whether it's on legalization of recreational marijuana or a number of other issues? People are noticing that Andrew Cuomo is moving to the left on a number of items, apparently in response to Cynthia Nixon's candidacy.
I was anticipating this question. You know, there's that old saying, there's no Republican way or Democratic way to pick up trash. I don't know, maybe there is a Republican or a liberal way or a conservative way to run a transit agency. But as far as Cuomo doing anything in response to the Cynthia effect, I can't answer that. But I will say he has been hanging his bona fides of transit, of saving the subway. Remember, the crisis came under his administration. He's been in office 8 years now, seeking his third term, and the crisis hit right at the end of his second term, and he's been pushing this subway action plan. This was supposed to be the multi-million-dollar, you know, repair blitz. Stop the free fall, stop the crisis, stabilize the system, and then start planning for the future. And it's taken him on, you know, what I've called the subway action plan tour. You would see him on the tracks in a train station in Brooklyn trying out a gizmo. It's a magnetic wand to take all the steel dust out of the joints that trip the signals and, you know, hold up trains. He went to a train yard up on 207th Street to check out the refurbishments of the cars. So, you know, he's showing himself as being on scene, trying to stay on top of this repair blitz that, you know, unfortunately doesn't seem to be making a dent in the quality of service, at least to the perspective of the riders.
You know, I've never believed that old saying that there's no Democratic and Republican way to take out the garbage. You can burn it, you can bury it, you can, or you can reuse, reduce, and recycle.
Well, it's fair. You know, Joe Loda, he's the chairman of the MTA. He's a real deal Republican. He was a Giuliani administration official. So, you know, he brings that experience with him. And the MTA is facing some debt in the next few years, and they're going to have to figure out how to close that debt.
That's right. And we played a history clip of Ronald Reagan a few months ago, from when he was president or running for president, where he actually was coming out against federal funding for urban mass transit systems around the country on the basis that it was kind of a liberal utopian plot aimed at getting people out of their cars, and cars represent individual freedom in America. So all I'm saying is, in the big sweep of history, there probably is a liberal and a Republican way to organize transit in a metropolitan area. I don't know that it's breaking down along those lines with Cynthia Nixon and Andrew Cuomo, to your point, but maybe it's a matter of what's more realistic, because the legislature isn't passing his congestion pricing any more than it's passing de Blasio's millionaire's tax so far.
And I've asked this question to Cynthia Nixon when she's had campaign stops at subway stations. The congestion pricing issue was dead, and the Cuomo camp loves to say he revived it. And to be fair, he did get a congestion pricing fee on four hire vehicles, the Ubers and Lyfts that go into Manhattan. He got a congestion pricing charge on that. He didn't get it on the private vehicles. Now, you know, you could say that's a failure because we really need that money. We really need congestion pricing. You know, we're choking on traffic here, and we need a stable, you know, source of funding that the MTA can bank on. And
Well, since you mentioned the Ubers, this is a little bit of a digression from the subways themselves, and I don't know if it's on your beat as a mass transit
sure
reporter,
is.
But do you know if Cuomo and Nixon have each taken positions on the city council's new bill that Mayor de Blasio has just signed into law to cap the number of Ubers? We'll be talking to New York City Council Speaker Corey Johnson about that in our next segment, or in a later segment this morning. But do you know if Nixon and Cuomo are different on that?
No, I don't, so I don't want to answer for that. But I will say Cuomo did get Uber to operate in the rest of the state. They were New York City, and it needed legislation to expand for-hire vehicle service that we know in the city, the Uber and Lyft cars. That's now statewide. So he's been a supporter of Uber and this technology.
Let's take another call. Luis in Jackson Heights. You're on WNYC. Hi, Luis.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. It feels like everything is being worked on at once. In terms of the subways, at least, is scheduling the work part of the current problem? Is there a problem with coordination within the MTA?
Absolutely. So the subway action plan, like I said, it was this major repair blitz. If you look at the, say you pull out your cell phone, you have the MTA app, you'll see planned work going down the lines. They're doing a lot of work. It was a repair plan to the order of like $836 million. I've done stories where they're having trouble getting accurate schedules to train crews. They're having trouble running trains alongside the work. The trains go incredibly slow. I did a story where transit officials were concerned. They couldn't get the accurate schedules with the work built into it. They couldn't get them out fast enough, and they couldn't get them to the train conductors and the train operators. So everything gets jumbled. It's why countdown clocks were messed up. It's why trains had, you know, starts and stops and traffic underground. So, you know, this was they have had issues coordinating this work, and that all filters down to the quality of the subway ride.
Luis, what's your line in Jackson Heights? Mainly the 7?
Oh, no. I'm really, really lucky. I live about 4 minutes from the stop that contains the 7, the M, the R, the F, the E. So
right, the 74th Street, Roosevelt Avenue, with all those trains.
Right, exactly. And just like Cynthia Nixon noted that when she arrived at that campaign event, you know, she took 3 separate trains to get there late. And I just find that happens all over the place. And I was wondering if, you know, maybe we should, you know, in addition to the moratorium on Uber, et cetera, we should probably also do a moratorium on construction in the subways until they straighten out this whole thing about, you know, what gets done when. Because, you know, as your guest noted, there seems to be a tremendous problem with coordination.
By the way, go ahead.
We're all paying for it.
By the way, I've wondered sometimes whether that's the longest escalator in the world at the 74th Street stop when you get off the 7 to go all the way from the elevated number 7 train all the way down underground to the other lines. That is one hell of an escalator at that stop. But what about Luis's point?
Hey, you know, the MTA board meetings are open to the public. If he wants to go and pitch to have a moratorium on repair work, good luck. I don't know how far that would go with MTA officials. They really believe this work is critical and addressed a lot of issues that had been ignored for some time. Just simple things as cleaning out drains, making sure there's proper water filtering out of the subway station. And even when it rains today, it just it's a sieve. You know, it just leaks. There's waterfalls in the station.
And let's take another call. Ben in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC. Hi, Ben. Ben, you there?
Yeah, I'm here, Brian.
Hi, we got you. Hello? Now we got you.
Okay, great. Thanks for taking my call, Brian. So, you know, I'd like to say that I think this question of who in the executive role is better positioned to solve the subway crisis, to me, the answer is so clearly Andrew Cuomo. You know, at the executive level, it's a question of who can just raise the money. I mean, this is a problem that the only way to fix it is to throw gobbles and gobbles of money at it. And, you know, as a progressive myself, you know, I know that for years we have wanted Cuomo to come around on congestion pricing, and we got it. He's come around, and yeah, maybe as the commentator said earlier, we only got it so far on for hire vehicles, but he has so far showed a willingness to continue to adopt this program. Now, it's such a typical progressive trap then to just fall for the new shiny object, which is Cynthia Nixon's convoluted plan to raise money. And why do we think that she has any better of a chance of raising the gobbles of money necessary to fix the system through her inventive, you know, less friendly tax hikes? It's just not as likely to get through as Cuomo's expansion what we hope is a tried and true method of raising money for this immense problem.
Well, you're making two arguments, really. One is that Cuomo's got a better track record of getting things done. This is somewhat an experience argument. Your other argument is on the content, where you're saying Nixon's plan is convoluted and, did you say, tax unfriendly or less friendly tax scheme? So do you want to make both of those cases? Why do you hear the polluters tax, for example, is either less friendly or convoluted?
I just feel like it's something that, I mean, let's zoom out and think about progressive creative methods of taxation as compared to a method of taxation that's already somewhat on the books and people have been chewing on for years now, which is congestion pricing. It's much more likely to get through. I would love a polluter's tax. I'm a progressive too, but do I really think that a executive with no prior experience coming in with you know, some PhD's take on how to raise billions of dollars has a better chance of getting through this state legislature than something that is already kind of halfway there? And to me, it's obvious that someone's got a better shot at doing it.
Ben, thank you very much for your call. So, Dan Rivoli, transit reporter for the Daily News, and listeners, if you're just joining us, we're asking basically as part of our primarily New York, pre-New York primary series, who's better to fix the subways? Who's better positioned, Andrew Cuomo or Cynthia Nixon? We're breaking this out as an issue. We can take more of your phone calls. Our lines are full right now, but 212-433-WNYC. Dan, the question of Nixon's inexperience in a big managerial role is certainly one that keeps coming up. Is there anything that you've seen as a transit reporter on this issue where she's really kind of gaffed her way into revealing her inexperience with, you know, the massive tangled MTA politics and how to master them?
No, I wouldn't say, you know, I wouldn't say gaffe. I've asked her a similar question to what your caller posed, which was that, why are you going to, as Governor Nixon, how are you going to succeed where Governor Andrew Cuomo didn't on these priorities? And, you know, the answer is always, well, I'll fight for it. And which is the criticism is that, well, Andrew Cuomo didn't really fight for congestion pricing because if he did, he would have gotten the whole thing. Okay, that's an argument, you know, she's making that, well, I'll just do it. I'll put you know, the work and in the effort to pass it. And also to that, she'll say, I wouldn't empower the Independent Democratic Conference. This is the breakaway Democratic faction from the mainline Democrats, and that independent caucus joint power with the Republicans. She said, well, I wouldn't do that. And my follow-up question is always, well, what about those mainline Democrats who in the outer boroughs who may not be progressive or may not like congestion pricing or not want to do a millionaire's tax? And, you know, it's you can't hinge everything on the IDC. There are you do have to reach out to those mainline Democrats, and that's still an open question of how much support these policies have. And then how do you, even if there isn't support, how do you build it and pass it?
Mira in calling as Mira T. Do I have that right? In Westchester, you're on WNYC. Mira T.
Yes. Hi. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. So I'm going to highlight two-part problem. I live in Westchester, and I tend to drive into the city because it's too expensive to take the train, and I can find free parking on street more often than not, so I don't even have to pay for parking.
Where do you don't tell anyone. It's just between us, but where do you find this free on-street parking?
Yes, I think both problems need to be solved. If I found the trains to be cheaper to take it into the city, I would not be driving in.
She didn't tell us where, you'll note. So do you it's so interesting. And part of the MTA, if we're going to talk about Cuomo's MTA and Cynthia Nixon's potential MTA, and they're running for governor, not mayor of New York City, but governor of New York State. The MTA also includes Metro North and the Long Island Railroad. So is it Metro North that you find prohibitively expensive living in Westchester, Mira?
Yes, exactly. I mean, I don't come into the city every day to work, so I don't buy a pass.
Uh-huh.
I come in occasionally.
That's why you find parking. So,
and if I'm coming in occasionally, which I'm buying one peak ticket or off-peak ticket, it's very expensive.
Gotcha. So, Dan, does the commuter rails, Metro North and the Long Island Railroad, enter into the debate between Cynthia Nixon and Andrew Cuomo in any way?
Not in the debate between, well, actually, I take that back. Yes, and not so pointedly, but Cynthia Nixon will make the argument that Andrew Cuomo does not at all.
As Dan Rivoli's ringtone gets revealed to all our listeners, and he's clicking it off. To future guests, please silence your, I'm just kidding. It's
so
okay, Dan, go ahead.
It becomes more, Cynthia Nixon will describe it as, well, Andrew Cuomo doesn't pay attention to the subway because that's not what his donors take. And you know, Cuomo, when he's successful in mass transportation, he announces early completion of a ramp at LaGuardia Airport that will cut the car traffic. He's got a project going that's Long Island Railroad, you know, putting in extra tracks. He's paid a lot of attention to airports. And those seem to be going well. He is there at the press conferences. He had one where he announced the early completion of Sandy work at the Hugh Carey Brooklyn Battery Tunnel, the Queens Midtown Tunnel. We were up in Queens, and big golden flood doors, big brassy flood doors at the tunnel entrance. So, you know, he seems to get that stuff done. And then there's still open questions about, you know, the attention paid to the subway and how effective the plan is to rescue it and how is it going.
Adam in Inwood, you're on WNYC. Hi, Adam.
Hi. Hi, Brian. I just wanted to talk about how I'm disillusioned with the MTA entirely. And as a disabled person, I'm part of a pilot program with the Accessoride, who I can call a green cab every day. And I do that instead of taking the subway, because subway is just so inconvenient. And I feel bad about adding to the pollution and the congestion in Midtown and all of New York City.
What would be your priority, Adam, for more accessibility?
Well, I would hope for more elevators at stations. That's my priority. Because right now I just can't get half the place I want to go without a severe amount of wheelchair riding.
Adam, thank you very much. So is that a topic of conversation, either between Cuomo Nixon or for Andy Byford, the new MTA chief? We've certainly talked about, New York City Transit chief, the disgraceful, really, lack of elevators around the city for people in wheelchairs or other limited mobility issues. Is that part of the fix that anybody's looking to toward short, medium, or long term?
New York City Transit President Andy Byford has made paratransit a top priority, and about time, really needed to happen. As you said, it's disgraceful, the level of inaccessibility there is in this city. And sadly, it isn't a bigger point, I think, in the transit part of the governor's primary, but it does get discussed, and it does get talked about in Andrew Cuomo's management of the MTA, because one of his signature projects that was front-loaded at the MTA were these gorgeous station redesigns. He calls it the Enhanced Station Initiative, and he picks all these stations and top to bottom, and the MTA was quite sensitive about the criticism that these were for looks. They put on new artwork, leaning benches, not benches you can sit on, but you could just lean on them, glass, it's light filling, but there's no elevators. People need that, even if you use a wheelchair, if you are a parent with a stroller. And that was a big criticism that, and just a point on that, the MTA for a long time would say how impossible it was at certain places. And just recently, the U.S. attorney came back and there was a station in the Bronx. So they said, no, it wasn't impossible. You could have put an elevator there and you didn't.
Luthra in Hicksville, you're on WNYC. Hello, Luthra.
Good morning, Brian. How are you?
Okay, thank you.
My question is, there for the last 9 years, these taxi drivers pay to the MTA every day $250,000 to $300,000 to the MTA.
That's right. There's a little surcharge.
50 cents per ride. Per ride.
That goes to the MTA. Go ahead, Luthra. Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
It's a lot of money. And for the last 9 years, we're paying. And the other Uber and Lyft, they're not paying. Oh, that's a different story. So we're paying for that's a lot of money. Where is this money going? I can say this, the Cuomo can't run the subway. It's better to give it to the city. City, every borough will be in charge more better than the Cuomo.
Although you realize that there's a crisis of getting enough money into the system to really repair the subways. So when you ask, where is this money going, one could push back and say, well, yeah, they have to spend it well, but on the other hand, they need the money.
And this 50 cents is from January 1st, is going to go 250. And who's going to take our taxi? Nobody's going to take the taxi, because they charge extra to go to the MTA $2.50 from January 1st.
Luthra, thank you for your call, and good luck out there. Is that a true fact, as far as you know? Is that 50 cents MTA surcharge going to $2.50?
That's the congestion pricing fee.
Oh.
So when I say for hire, that it is also for taxis as well. And where does the money go? You had a last caller who said, throwing gobbles of money, and they're asking for money, but they got a spending problem too. They really need to crack down on, and I do wish that was a greater part of the conversation of how do you reduce these costs, because you're asking for a lot. And that 50 cent tax on yellow cab trips, that was from a bailout almost 10 years ago now, when the state legislature had to bail out the MTA's finances after the Great Recession. And part of that was that, yellow taxi trip fee.
Jacob in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Hi, Jacob.
Hi, Brian. I wanted to address the criticism that's sometimes made of a pollution tax, that it's regressive. I think it's interesting that it's Cynthia Nixon who's coming out and proposing this, because she's obviously very liberal. And there are two ways that it strikes me as not regressive. The first is that pollution is also regressive. The effects of global warming or something like that are going to affect people with less money more than they're going to affect people with more money. They are less able to deal with it and cope with it. And the other way occurs to me, based on what your guest is saying, which is that a tax on pollution would effectively be a transfer from drivers to users of mass transit, drivers upstate to users of mass transit in the city.
Jacob, thank you. So that's interesting. If a carbon tax applies to individuals driving their cars, and again, Dan, my guest, Dan Rivoli, transit reporter for the Daily News, as we compare Cuomo and Nixon on how to fix the subways. And she's proposing a polluter's tax. Is it regressive in the sense that it would charge individual drivers for the amount that their individual cars pollute? Remind us how you said it would work.
I just read it off the white paper on her website. Mm-hmm. Don't know the intricacies of how it would work. I'll leave that to the lawmakers and the policymakers and the candidate herself for that one. But you know, somebody has to pay, and she thinks this is the way you get a reliable stream of funding to the MTA and for funding for other things. And you want to encourage, you know, mass transit. You don't want to have to raise fares all the time to balance the budget. Or more to the point, there are MTA board members who feel the fare hikes every 2 years might be wearing thin and might need to stop that. So,
And Jacob, you know, to your other point, that it would be a transfer of wealth from drivers to mass transit users, a lot of New Yorkers would say, you bet it would be. And that's the right thing to do, because drivers are so oversubsidized in so many ways in our society, the building of highways at taxpayer expense, and a zillion other things. I was giving Jacob a chance to respond to that, but he didn't. All right, we're going to sneak in one more call. Rebecca in the Bronx wants to talk back, I think, to the caller in Brooklyn earlier, who raised the question of experience running a complex agency like the MTA. Rebecca, you're on WNYC. Thank you so much for calling.
Hi, thank you so much for taking my call. I want to push back in general on the idea that experience is a reason to reelect incumbents and inexperience is a reason to not prefer the challengers. Frankly, I have not at this point chosen a gubernatorial candidate to support. However, every time I hear this argument, for example, in the IDC discussion, I think, hang on a minute. The experience that we have with these incumbents is leading to poor outcomes. So if we're not happy with the outcomes, why would experience be a qualification you'd point at for reelection? And how is it that inexperience is ever a relevant criticism? That means that anyone but an incumbent automatically has a strike against them.
Right.
And I think that this way of looking at all of these choices is doesn't make any sense to me. In my borough in the Bronx, the outcomes are terrible. Most of the Bronx is a transit desert. They're renovating stations near me, you know, multi-million dollar renovations that are not going to be ADA compliant. I don't get how my experience of mm-hmm. the benefits of the incumbent's experience
right.
makes sense, you know, argues to me that I should be voting for them.
Right.
don't see how that makes any sense at all.
And traditionally in politics, this argument applies much more to an executive than to a legislator. So it's a weak, I think almost everybody would, I don't want to say almost everybody, but many, many people would argue this is a weak argument experience when you're talking about a body of, you know, 63 senators like the New York State Senate has, or 535 representatives in the Congress of the United States. They can pool their experience and pool their wisdom. For a governor or president or mayor, a little bit different. What do you do for a living, Rebecca?
Oh.
Well, you don't have to say if you don't want.
I do a kind of freelance work that requires me to drive into the city with some frequency, but not daily.
Oh,
I wasn't really so interested in getting
at your commute. I was going to get at, well, whatever it is you said you did for a living, if somebody from the outside who was just a critic of you said, well, I'm going to go do that Rebecca job better than Rebecca does it, would you raise your experience?
Well, the reality is that in my profession, that is exactly what people do all the time. all the time. And yes, my experience is precisely that. It's my experience. But if what I produced, if my work was lousy, then my experience would not be a relevant argument for hiring me. Everybody does think that they can do what I do for a living, Brian. And people stand up all the time saying, oh, that's not work at all. I can do that. And the reality is, okay, give it a shot. And if your outcomes are better than mine, then you're going to get more work than I do. And that's just the way the marketplace works. But I think this experience argument also, in my profession, doesn't do what it does in politics, which is that in politics, it specifically disadvantages women and the young. Because since the government has been traditionally held in the hands of older white males,
yep,
that means that the inexperience argument disproportionately is made against newcomers,
mm-hmm,
and women,
mm-hmm,
and people of color, because they haven't, mm-hmm, been part of,
right,
the administration prior,
right,
to this.
Mathematically indisputable. Rebecca, thank you. Keep calling us. And you know what? We're going to leave this here. We will continue on most days, if not close to all days, between now and the Thursday, yes, Thursday, September 13th, New York primary, with our series Primarily New York. In fact, we're going to have a bonus segment in Primarily New York in about an hour. Your calls on what Governor Cuomo said yesterday in response to President Trump's Make America Great Again slogan, that America was never so great, and then he tried to, you know, kind of walk it back a little bit, but we'll be talking about that next hour. We thank Dan Rivoli, transit reporter for the Daily News, for talking about Cuomo versus Nixon, Nixon versus Cuomo on running the MTA. Thank you so much.
Glad to be here.